This episode of Comics for Fun and Profit is brought to you by CGC, the comics grading company. We'll take your cherished, beloved comics, and we've got somebody that we got off the street working minimum wage, never seen a comic before. We'll train them up. And in 6 to 12 months, you'll receive that comic back with a grade that you can take to the bank. It is verified. Hey, we may have dropped it in shipping. It may have fallen out of the box. We may have stepped on it. We may have actually done some serious damage to your comic. But we'll reflect in the notes. But you know what? Then you'll have a grade you can be proud of. And you won't have to do the pesky grading all by yourself. Like a heathen. Like a caveman does. You won't have to actually grade your own comic. So hey, trust CGC, the comics grading company, to give you what you could give yourself. Just thank us. We're CGC. Time for a break from our show to pay the bills. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need, all in one place. You can provide feedback, listen, support, share, enjoy these. We have our Patreon there. You can buy us a beer or a coffee. You can check out our Instagrams, our Twitters, our Facebooks. Check out our YouTube page. You can email us. You can listen to our podcasts on Patreon, if you're a subscriber, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on Podbean. We have Google Podcasts on there. We have an Amazon wish list. You want to buy Kyle and I something? Fine. You can do that here. We appreciate it. We have Kyle's RPG podcast listed on there, so you can check out his Dork Day Afternoon offerings. We have Cowabunga links, so you can check out the Cowabunga deep discount FOC and pre-order list. Get on that. That's RLCS, so you can check that out as well. And we want to just give you opportunities to say hi, to check out what we're doing, support us if you would like, or just listen. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need. Thanks. Back to the show.
You're listening to Comics for Fun and Profit. This is Kyle Andrew with your sneak peek at next week, episode number 902, for comics originally releasing April the 23rd and April the 24th. But before Drew and I get into what's coming up in your local comic book shops this coming Tuesday or Wednesday, Drew, how we doing?
I am 2 episodes deep in Fallout.
Yeah, baby.
And really, really well done. Nice production value, mm-hmm. And big bad side effect. Just makes me want to fire up the old Xbox, yeah. And get right back into it.
Absolutely. And
play it through again. It's really, really cool so far.
The world is just such a cool world.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, full discretion, you and I, suckers for post-apocalypse.
Yeah. But yeah, it was seeing the vault like that.
Mm-hmm.
Was really cool. And the little, what were the little figures you were trying to get? All
the bobbleheads. The
bobbleheads, yeah. You see those every once in a while stuck in a corner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the vault boy's stuck in a corner every once in a while somewhere, and you're like, grab it! Grab it!
Those things are like gold!
It was really cool, and all, like, there's a lot of Easter eggs I haven't played for a long time, so I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's something. I don't remember what that was, but that's something. And, you know, then seeing stuff like little stem packs and things all around. You know,
yep.
It's really cool. And so it's, I guess, part nostalgia for the game, and it was a well executed show. So highly recommend.
Greenlit for season 2.
Even if you haven't played the game, I think you'd enjoy it. I mean,
absolutely. They take you back to a rudimentary level. You don't need to know the necessarily backstory of the uranium, you know, depths of the battle between China and America and all that fun stuff. You just need to know this is what the world we live in. This is what happened. And this is, you know, why we're in a 1940s post-apocalyptic future.
My wife's watching with me and she's asking me all these questions. And I'm like, okay, listen, I play the game. a long time ago, years ago, and I don't remember, and I don't even know if I just got finished with the game, if I would know the answers to these questions about who this person is, what their deal is,
yeah,
et cetera. I think some of these are new characters, so.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people that are people from the games. A lot of groups from the games, a lot of factions from the games, a lot of things like that. Because yeah.
I'm only two episodes in. But yeah, so she asked me all this questions. I thought you said you played the game. Well, I did. But again, I think there's some new stuff here.
Lucia is not in the game. Maximus is not in the game.
Yeah.
The ghoul is based on a character from, I want to say New Vegas. But I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's not in 4.
No.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you guys got to check that out. Kyle, what's our next movie? What are we going to go see?
Deadpool's my next thing I'm waiting for. I'm all in for Deadpool.
And when's that?
June upcoming.
All right.
Movies. Let's see. Yep, Deadpool. I don't care about Moana. Transformers 1. Venom, The Last Dance. Joker, Voila Do.
I'll probably skip that one. It looks really weird.
Fantastic Four is next year. Sonic the Hedgehog is this year.
Avengers Transformers 1. What is Transformers 1? What are they going to do? Reboot it?
Transformers 1, the untold origin story of Optimus Prime and Megatron, better known as sworn enemies, but were once friends bonded like brothers.
So like on Cybertron type of?
Oh, on Cybertron. Your daughter, for some odd reason, brought up Planet of the Apes. Like, we were into that kind of thing.
It looks really good. The new one looks really good.
Oh, that's right. There's a sequel to Gladiator coming out.
Really?
Kraven the Hunters this year, too.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings, The War of Rohirrim. Oh,
yeah. Of course, after our Madam Web, are we going to do Kraven? It's in the same universe.
I mean... Kraven or Madam Web was worth the $12.
Okay.
Ooh, Borderlands. The movie Borderlands.
Yeah. Borderlands, yeah. Now, is that one I'm going to be able to watch without having played the game?
Did you watch either of the new Jumanji movies?
No.
Oh, I was going to say they're pretty much like that, but just Borderlandsian. You'll be taking your wife to Twisters.
Yes, yeah.
The new Blade is next year.
Is Twisters coming up in the summer?
I moved on. 2024.
Yeah. Ooh, date night. Gonna have to do that.
And, oh, that's right. There's another Bad Boys coming out, too.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that. I'm not gonna do that one.
Another Mandalorian.
That's... In the theater, though?
No, but that just popped up as
something
upcoming
new.
That I'm interested in.
Gotcha. Excellent. We've got some options.
Yeah. Yeah. The new Mummy.
No.
It's May 7th.
Is it with What's-His-Face?
I think so. Oh, no, they were re-releasing The Mummy. Never mind.
Oh.
Putting it back in theaters. I forgot they're doing that kind of dumb thing.
Yeah. I don't know if Mummy is rewatched in the theater worthy. Is it? It was okay. I don't remember being great. All right. That's enough.
Planet of the Apes is May 10th.
Yeah, that's probably the next one with an option.
That animated If movie from Disney, I'll end up drugged to that.
Hard pass. All right, let's talk comics, bro.
Sorry, I'm caught in a loop now. My bad. Let me try to suck myself out.
Yes, let's go hot 10. From our good friends at CBSI.
Yeah, Deadpool is July 26th, not June. Sorry. All right. Hey, you got it right. Let's head on over to our good friends at comicbookinvest.com and look at their Hot 10 for April the 19th, 2024. Let's start with our first item, Uncanny X-Men Annual number 14 from the Chris Claremont run. It's been over a week now, so we can spoil the fact that Gambit gave his life in Episode 5 of X-Men 97, sacrificing himself to save Rogue and the rest of the mutants on Genosha. For whatever reason, his first appearance is a-movin'. Most refer to this as the first cameo appearance, but regardless, this one is gaining more and more steam than the alternative, as Rawls are now averaging more than $40, which is up from the $20 to $25 of the last few weeks. The high Rawl sale was closer to $60, and a CDC 9.6 newsstand even sold for $500 this week. Does this mean that the market is finally recognizing this as Gambit's first actual appearance, or is it simply a matter of the cheaper alternative gaining ground that is as it is currently more affordable? Probably the latter, but it's good to see it in any case. Uncanny X-Men 266, this is the legit first appearance with him on the cover. Yes, Gambit is selling this week, and this is absolutely the market's favorite book for his first, as it features him on the cover and was supposed to be released first. However, supposed to and what actually happened are two completely different things. Prices and volumes remain pretty consistent the last couple of weeks. Rawls are still $150 to $200. CGC 9.8s are $700 to $750. That said, this still makes the list because we are seeing bigger gains in lower grades. A CGC 9.6 hit $330 at auction, which is up about from about $250 on average prior. Folks are buying what they can afford, and that is raising the floor on typically ignored CGC mid to high grades. So, Drew, it's not all about the 9.8s anymore. Congratulations.
Well, since CGC just makes up the numbers, I mean, that's probably why.
Oh, I lobbed just softball inadvertently on that one. My apologies.
People have realized that those numbers are meaningless. They don't mean anything.
How dare you say numbers are meaningless? They mean everything. At rank 3, Marvel Team Up 14, written by Robert Kirkman. I admit I missed this one last week, thanks Spider-Verse, but prices continue to reach new highs even this week. The volumes are down, but the prices are definitely up. Granted, most of the heat was generated by the Spider-Man fill-in character, Agent Spider, appearing on the Amazon animated series, reminding folks about this crossover. But this has been a pricey book for a while now. Prices surged the last few weeks, leading to some of the high sales we saw this week, including a Rawl hitting $275 and a CGC 9.6 surpassing $900. At rank four, I can't speak this evening, so please, everybody, bear with me.
It's great for a podcast.
Shut up. I look great, though, but nobody knows. Earth-X 12. This has been selling pretty strong the last few weeks since the announcement, but while it dropped off last week for basically maintaining its price and volume, this week it finds itself back on the list, thanks to some high spikes reaching about $100. Despite all the internet rhetoric complaining about the casting, it seems the majority of collectors are still buying into this character. That's the whole Silver Surfer thing, Drew.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Woman 6, the 1 in 25 Riki Yagawa cover. A decent amount of copies sold this week at nearly a dozen of this 1 in 25 variant. But this one stands out, as most new 1 in 25 incentive variants sell for under ratio at 10 to 15 at days of release. The reason this Riki Yagawa cover stands out is because it has exceeded those expectations and is averaging $40 this week, hitting even the highs of 50. Listed copies are still seeking between 40 and 80, so we will see if this can maintain that price or will drop, as many tend to do that. At rank 6, Transformers number 1, baby, up from about $15 average previously on the cover A. It seems news of a G.I. Joe Transformers crossover movie have folks gravitating towards the current Energon universe rather than the previous crossovers at Marvel, Dreamwave, or IDW. While not much is known about the focus of this movie, the current popularity of the current Energon universe may make this the best bet out of all the crossover options. It is also possible the new Transformers 1 trailer has also spurred more Transformers interest. or perhaps it's a combination of all of these reasons. Whatever the case, Transformers are killing it. At rank 7, Fantastic Four, Life Story number 1, the Mark Russell, Daniel Acuna book. Climbing off the outside looking in list to the big show, this series is seeing more and more interest as it is supposedly one of the inspirations of the new Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, that's interesting.
I see FF and I go Final Fantasy instead of Fantastic Four. Sorry. With that said, prices are now averaging between 20 and 25 on more than 20 sales this week, with a CGC 9.8 reaching $108. Most of this action is on that cover A, while the other open order variants are still very, very cheap. We will see if more folks start turning to those cheaper alternatives or if the heat remains on simply the cover A. Wonder Woman 8, the 1 in 25 Joshua Swayze-Wabi cover. Another new incentive variant stands out from the crowd. A decent amount of volumes with at least 10 sales these first couple days of release. While most sales being slightly over ratio at $30 or so, there have been some high sales of $45 since this hit shelves just Tuesday. We'll have to see if this can reach those pre-sale highs of over $60 or if this hovers around ratio for the weeks ahead. Uncanny X-Men 227. Another book climbing its way off of the outside looking in. This X-book continues to sell. It will be interesting to see what happens when this series of X-Men 97 is over. But for now, fans cannot get enough. While this is the first appearance of the adversary, who also appears again on this week's episode, some interest could be hoping to see the fall of the mutant storyline adapted in some way. With another 40 sales, most are still very cheap for those low to mid grades. However, raw highs have reached $20 to $25 in a CGC 9.8, also hitting triple digits. And at rank 10, X-Men Deadly Genesis, number 1, the Ed Brubaker, Mark Silvestri run. Look what a background Easter egg cameo appearance can do these days, as we saw maybe 2 seconds of the third Summers brother. And yet that was enough to spur interest in this dollar bin book. More than 30 sales this week so far across all three covers, but once again, cover A seems to be the top choice. Love to see that. On the market with highs hitting $15. Most sales are pretty cheap, and cover B and C are lagging a little bit behind at $8 to $10. But we'll see if this momentum can maintain, as I doubt we will see much more of Vulcan this season on the show. But who knows? Who knows what the future will bring? Notable sales in the big dogs. Teen Titans 75, a 1 in 25. This is from the 90s run, I think. I love this Adam Hughes cover, personally. Thanks to my old buddy John Z for selling me a 9.8 copy a long time ago. But we were shocked to see that this 1 in 25 Adam Hughes hit an all-time sale of $1,426 this week at auction. Not many of these come to market for sure, but this is still a huge jump from the last 9.8 sale of $765 back in December. Perhaps we should have seen this coming, as the last couple Raw sales these past months or two have been in the 600 and 800 just for Rawls.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, those early Hughes covers. All-Star Comics 3. An all-time classic as the first appearance of the Justice Society. This is a book we should always keep an eye on when the sale of a CGC 0.5, which sold for $6,600 back in 2022, a purple label restored 3.0 also sold for that same price. The last sale in any grade was a CGC 4.0 for $19,020. If you look at the notes, it appears the person submitting this book may have opted for the 0.5 blue label, as the cover presents well, despite the fact that the back cover is missing and there is also a chunk missing of the interiors. So they may have chosen this grade over whatever higher grade they may have gotten in a green label, as the book is technically incomplete.
Yeah, I was wondering, because I looked at it, I was like, that does not look like a 0.5 to me. I would crack that fucker right out of that case and put it in a clamshell or something. And because it does not look like a 0.5 to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it must be some stuff on it.
Back cover missing, large piece missing from page 25. But. That's your blue label.
See, that's how CGC gets you.
Speaking of how CGC gets you, let's head on over to DC Connect and see how they're going to get us to buy books in July with their May solicit. And we've got absolute power as the DC blockbuster on the cover. As we scroll through a few things, let's start with Absolute Power Ground Zero number one, written by Mark Waid, Joshua Williamson, Nicole Maines, and Chip Zdarsky. That's a lot of people for 48 pages.
Yeah, it is.
As the DC Universe braces for the Absolute Power Blitzkrieg, the key to capturing metahuman powers on planet Earth will last be unlocked. Bridging the events of Batman, Superman, House of Brainiac, and Suicide Squad Dream Team, this special oversized Ground Zero issue brings Waller's total dominations of the doorsteps and the world's finest heroes using the combined might of Failsafe, Brainiac, Queen, and the Suicide Squad. I don't give a living crap about any of that.
I like Batman.
I was going to say I like Batman, but it sounds like he's a tertiary character. Absolute Power number one, written by Mark Waid. Art by boy Dan Mora, though, so that's dope.
Yeah.
The Trinity of Evil has won. Cool variant covers. There's a Resistance variant cover with a bunch of character layouts on it. I really like that. Zulo variants are going back. You know, we get our Scotty Young child variants. Now we have Zulo as kindergarten variants. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting angle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolute Power, Task Force 7, number one. Leo Williams writing that one.
So, Kyle.
Yes, sir.
Absolute Power or Blood Hunt over at Marvel?
Blood Hunt.
Okay.
Yeah, I at least had a little bit of interest in that. This Absolute Power is just...
not doing it for you.
So far now. Absolute Power, Task Force 7, number 2, double shipped on this one. Written by... issue 2, written by John Layman. Oh, I'm sorry. Triple shipped. Triple shipped 3 books of this. I don't know how many book series. Jeremy Adams writing issue 3. So triple shipped, different writers on all of them. Why not just make them different books? Oh, well. And a very dope cover for Absolute Power Origins number 1.
Is that just a photo cover from something? It's, cosplay?
That's, I don't know. It's very interesting.
It doesn't say it is. It just says it's a cover. That's an interesting art style.
Yeah, very
photorealistic.
Yeah, very photo AI. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, possibly.
Superman 16 is an Absolute Power tie-in. Dude, that Cho Zatanna variant is awesome. Oh, they're all Zatanna variant now.
Well, the Villalobos is also Zatanna. And then I guess the other one is. Yeah, I guess there's 3-4 of them. Yeah.
Touché.
So she must be in there.
Yeah, she's in the cover, too. It took me a moment to see her. Wonder Woman 11, also an Absolute Power tie-in.
Batman hits 150.
Yeah. Batman 150, Absolute Power tie-in. Not great covers.
Oh, my goodness. James Tynion goes back to the well for Nice House by the Sea. I'm not sure how that's going to work based on the end of House, Nice House on the Lake.
And the terrifying award-winning series continues with an unexpected and unsettling second act. Pages look good.
Yeah.
Joker, The World, written by 900 people.
Wow. That's a lot of writers and a lot of artists. 184 pages. Yeah. Oof.
Will feature Joker stories by creative teams. The origin.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass. That'll be a library or Hoopla mm-hmm. read at some point. I'm not gonna buy that.
From the DC Vault, Death in the Family, Robin Lives, number one. In 1988, DC fans made a seminal choice in the history of DC publishing, voting to kill off Jason Todd's Robin in the Death of the Family storyline. Now, for the first time, we want to find out what would have happened if fans had voted to let him live. And it begins with the murder of the Joker. Is that new? Or did we know that before?
What? That Robin was going to live?
There's an alternative storyline if they'd voted differently.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, this is the first time we're seeing it.
This is the first we're seeing it. Cool. That's cool. Yeah. Find out that all the story fans have wanted for more than 30 years. Yeah, I guess I've read that
one. Yeah, you remember they reprinted Death in the Family, and they've included in the fourth issue those pages that would have had him living had they voted the other way. So you could see what those pages were because they were hidden for all this time. Gotcha. And now they're just going to extrapolate and keep going on the storyline.
Elseworlds. The Elseworlds relaunch continues with a bone-chilling Dark Knights of Steel chapter starring Deathstroke. I like putting Deathstroke in Dark Knights of Steel. That's cool. And their Elseworlds titles are just like, hey, we're just taking characters and putting them places they shouldn't be, right?
Yeah, that means not in the continuity if you care about continuity. And Dark Knights of Steel was fun. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if it's really connected or just in that world. Looks to me like it might just be in that world and not really part of that story.
Yeah,
which is fine.
Batman, Gotham by Gaslight, The Kryptonian Age 2, Detective Comics 1087, Batman and Robin 11, a new arc starts on Dinosaur Island.
It's a great book.
Nightwing 116 with Dead Man on the cover.
Issue 300 was so good, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Really, Legacy 300 was really, really good. Of course, they've all been really, really good. So
enjoy those Tom Taylors while we can enjoy those Tom
Yep.
Taylors. Batman the Raven the Bold 15. Poison Ivy 24. Ooh, with a nice Nakayama water and the flowers cover. Put me down for one of those. That's awesome. Harley Quinn 42. Red Hood the Hill 6. Catwoman 67.
Penultimate Nine Lives issue.
Yeah, it's really cool. They're good covers. Birds of Prey 11. Oh, look, they're on Dinosaur Island as well. Lovely. Penguin 12. I'm surprised they're doing a lot with this Penguin book. I wasn't sure how many they'd get out of it.
I can't believe it's gone 12 issues. I did not think they'd get out of it.
Will the Penguin survive his final issue? I didn't see that when I was talking about it.
Yeah, it but it's still, still solid run.
Yeah, nice dozen for Tom King. Can't beat it. Batman Dark Age 4. The All Red book. Outsiders 9. Batman Superman World's Finest, number 29. Okay, Action Comics 1067, Gail Simone returns to Superman for a three-part arc drawn by Eddie Barrows.
That's pretty good. That might be fun.
Power Girl 11. Shazam 13. Sinister Sons on issue 6 of its 6-issue series. So Sinister Sons origin revealed in the final issue.
I'm not reading any of that.
And Neo Before Zod 7. Flash 11. Titans 13. Green Lantern and 13, some cool covers on that. I like Ivan. Oh, and we're back. We are all the way on the 33rd physical page, and we're back to Absolute Power tie-ins with Green Lantern 13.
And Green Arrow 14 is an absolute. Why are these not up there with Absolute Power?
Yeah, I don't know why you're not booking all the Absolute Powers with everything. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Blue Beetle 11. What is next for Jaime Reyes?
I mean, the whole reason you do tie-ins is to goose sales of these other properties.
In for a penny and for a pound. Yep.
So you're like, so why would you not put them all together and say, hey, shops, buy all these so you can get the whole story, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Why would you?
It makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
My Adventures with Superman 2, which is set between seasons 1 and 2 of the hit Adult Swim series. Ah, facsimile. Tales of the Teen Titans 44. Facsimile edition. This is my first appearance of Nightwing. I have two copies of this book. I love this book.
This is not the first appearance of Nightwing.
In his disco outfit, I apologize.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, this is the first time. Yeah. With the Titans having been betrayed and captured, Dick Grayson dons a new costume and a new identity as Nightwing. Why are you trying to tell me about Nightwing shit?
Oh.
Come on now. The origin of Deathstroke.
I thought the Judas contract was something that was like its own thing. I didn't realize it was also Nightwing's first appearance.
Judas contract is a 3-issue series within that Tales of the Teen Titans. Yeah.
Well, look at that JLA number 1 facsimile. That's a great cover.
That is a nice looking book there. Crisis on Infinite Earth 4 facsimile edition. Zatanna, Bring Down the House, number 2. Mariko Tamaki writing this book.
So DC's doing Crisis facsimiles like Marvel's doing Secret Wars facsimiles.
Yeah. Jenny Frizen doing a bunch of variants. So Jenny Frizen is doing the 1 in 25 variant. Jenny Frizen and Ariel Diaz are doing the other cover variant. Or no, Frizen's doing one. Diaz is doing one. For instance, doing the 1 in 25, which is just a trade dress of the other one. Never mind.
Looks pretty good, though.
Looks very good. The Boy Wonder 3, Damian teams with Red Robin. 3-of-5-issue series. John Constantine Hellblazer, Dead in America, number 7.
You liking that?
This Land is Our Land, a Blue Beetle all-age softcover story.
Pass. Pass all these YA books.
Yeah, Primer's YA, Howard with my Scooby-Doo Mysteries, Looney Tunes 279. Legendary artist Jose Lunes Garcia Lopez gets the spotlight with a series of awe-inspiring variants. I've seen a lot of those. They're just calling him character variants, but apparently Jose Luis Garcia Lopez variants. The Joker Year 1 trade. Yeah. Batman City of Madness trade.
Lots of trades. Waiting to find another Absolute Power tie-in buried down here. Oh, that's All-Star interesting.
All-Star Batman by that Scott Snyder run trade is cool. That deluxe edition there.
It's the Elseworlds Justice League. I missed that one completely. I don't know when that came out. Huh, I wonder when that happened.
Oh, an omnibus of the Batman 66 series. 928 pages.
Really? Yeah. Is that many?
Yeah. They're issues 1 through 30 and The Lost Episode 1. So, yeah.
Oh, the Batman 66. Okay, I'm thinking of Batman 89. It's like, I don't think they have enough for an omnibus. I don't remember this Joker Killer Smile by Jeff Lemire.
I do. It was really good. It was when the Black Label books were first coming out. It kind of followed the Batwang stuff.
Oh. Got
lost in the shuffle.
Okay.
It's very well done. There you go. I do not see a checklist for your Elseworld title. Not Elseworld, but your Absolute
Power. So yeah.
Good luck with all that.
There's a $225 Killing Joke Deluxe hardcover, high resolution, 200 line screen printing on 16 GSM paper, Smithsonian, lay flat binding, 280 pages, 13 by 20. Wow. It has the complete Killing Joke, also An Innocent Guy, Batman Black and White 4, Mystery in Space 115, The Outside 18, Heartthrobs number 1, Batman 400. More than 100 covers, including Wonder Woman and Animal Man. Scanned at actual size from the original art, the book is the definitive collection of Bolin's DC Comics artwork. So it's all Brian Bolin stuff.
Mm-hmm. I love it, but it's got to have the cover with him in the camera.
Yeah. Well, they did 40 covers of printings for that. And
I'm sorry. Did I misspeak? I'm sorry. It's not. It just isn't going to work.
It's not negotiable?
That classic cover. No, yeah. You have to have that. You say Killing Joke, I immediately flash that camera cover. I love it.
Yeah, all right. Well, everything else looks pretty good.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think I have $225 laying around or half that for that book. But anyway, it looks cool.
Mm-hmm. Vade, vade, cool. You know what else is cool?
I'd read it.
You crack her up in a reader?
Yeah.
What else is cool is heading on over to our good friends at Cover Price and checking out their weekly top 10.
Yes.
And, of course, the number one book. I'm excited. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Last Ronin number one. Paramount came in hot with announcing two huge movie properties. At CinemaCon 2024, the first was Transformers G.I. Joe, which was already a surprise enough. The next announcement blew away the fandom. A live adaptation of The Last Ronin. Not only that, but the film will be rated R and will reportedly be bloody. For those that don't know, The Last Ronin is dark, dystopian future of the TNT series where only one of the turtles has survived. The book is a tragic and full of wrath. The series ends on a hopeful note, but it is too early to tell whether the movie will end with that same cliffhanger. 47 copies on the secondary market. High sale of $158 for Near Mint Raw, with a current value of $124 being the average, and a CGC 9.8 going for $264, and a CGC 9.8 being very easy to get with those square bound, awesome format books.
Is the Transformers G.I. Joe live action?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think
that'll be cool too.
Yeah. Transformers number one is the second book. Transformers 1, Daniel Warren Johnson and Mike Spicer. Regular cover. Transformers Rime of the Beast was thought to be the big launch movie for Hasbro's cinematic universe. However, due to disappointing box office returns, many fans thought the future plans for the universe were scrapped. Last week, CinemaCon 2024, Paramount announced that they will be moving forward with the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover movie. This is a huge announcement after hitting radio silence for the past year and also bringing newfound attention to the book that takes place in that shared universe known as the Energon universe. Tracked 17 copies, high sale of $22 for Near Mint Raw. CGC 9.8 going for $72. At rank 3, we have Uncanny X-Men 266. This is Gambit with Gambit on the cover. 46 copies sold, $750 for a CGC 9.8, $150 for Near Mint Fair Market Value. Earth X Volume 1. This is, of course, Silver Surfer.
Shalabal.
Yep. 53 copies, Drew. $80 for Near Mint Plus, settling to $35, but the high sale was $80. Crazy. X-Men Volume 1, Issue 25. This is with Rogue and Gambit on the cover. While Episode 5 was a phenomenal sequence, it focused on a particular set of characters. Throughout the season, we see the love triangle begin to form between Magneto, Rogue, and Gambit. This episode hit the pinnacle of the romance and also was what we needed for the end. We won't go into spoilers, but I did earlier in the day. But the showrunners tested Rogue and Gambit's relationship. In the end, we proved his love for her, and this cover perfectly captures the love between those two characters. 41 copies sold, $26 for Rawls, CDC 9.8 for $217. X-Men Annual 14. This was, again, the one that we were debating on the first appearance. The name's Gambit. Remember, it was a triumphant moment in animated storytelling. Animation has always been a form of storytelling and has frequently been directed at children. The popularity of anime has reshaped the way that we view animation. Movies like Into the Spider-Verse started showing the general public that animation can be used to tell deep and moving stories through. It's like they're telling this directly to you and speaking to your heart, Drew. X-Men 97 follows suit and takes their audience on an emotional roller coaster, ending with a shocking moment involving everyone's favorite, Raging Cajun. Unsurprisingly, three of his books made the top 10. This was another one. 26 copies, $183 for CGC 9.8, $32 for Near Mint Rawls.
Ain't got no time for them cartoons, man.
Yeah. Silver Surfer, Volume 1, Number 1, $5,520 for CGC 9.8. Rawls for $400, sold 26 copies, move into this monster book. Ultimate Spider-Man, still on the list. Cover A, still, all these weeks later. Last week, this book fell off of the top 10 after being a long member of the list. This week, the book returned, and it even got in above Black Panther, Spider-Man's Marvel's most popular hero. 35 copies on the secondary market, $90 was the high for floppies, 79 still being the average.
Wow.
Dazzler Number 1, Volume 1. The Taylor Swift Dazzler rumor has to be one of the most popular MCU rumors since the three Spider-Man in No Way Home appeared. This past week, didn't see any additional rumors for Swift. However, just this past Monday, director Sean Levy had an interview and was asked about Swift's appearance in the film. Of course, the answer was ambiguous as it came. The director replied with, the proliferation of rumors about who is and isn't in the movie is fabulous because no one will ever know the truth until July 26th. Take that as you will, but this vague reply will likely spark another fire under the rumor, sending this book soaring in popularity. 32 copies, $28 for Near Mint Rawls. Ultimate Black Panther, back on the list. Cover A's, CGC 9.8s for $105, $38. The settle price, 25 copies we see sold on the secondary market.
Oh, she's probably in there, right?
I would say so.
I mean, even though they blew the Super Bowl, but, you know, it's probably, she's got to be.
Yep.
Rank 11, we have Star Wars Thrawn, Alliances 4, the EM Geist, 1 in 25. This is the fourth in the 4-issue miniseries, and it sold 13 copies at a high sale of $88 for a raw, with a currents around $54. Well, I guess it is a 1 in 25. That makes sense. Rank 12, we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Last Ronin Number 1. We talked about that.
The 1 in 10.
This is the 1 in 10, though. Yeah, you're right. 10 copies of it sold. We had a high sale of $140 for a CGC 9.8. And Raw's around $39. I'm kind of geeked for this one. This might be a really good movie.
Heck yeah.
At rank 13, we have The Amazing Spider-Man 300, first appearance of Venom, back on the list again because it sold 26 more copies with a high sale of $9.95 for a CGC 9.6. And Raw's around $5.20. At rank 14, we have World of Wood.
The Eclipse book from 1986. This is a Dave Stevens cover, and track copies with it doesn't appear to, it doesn't have how many copies were sold, but they did sell raw sale of 125, but near mint's usually around $91.
Mm-hmm.
Rank 15, we have the Incredible Hulk 11, the Art Adams 1/25, and this was a great cover, but it was just like a really big face cover of Hulk, which was pretty cool. 27 copies of this moved with a high sale of $52 for raw. Geiger, the 80-page giant from a couple years ago. This had the first appearance of Redcoat in it. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So 19 copies of this sold with a high sale of $40 for a raw. Amazing. rank 17, we have Alien Worlds, Volume 1, Number 2 from Pacific Comics from 1983. Another Dave Stevens cover. This one moved 21 copies and had a high sale of $36 for a raw. At rank 18, we have The Uncanny X-Men 221 from 1987, the first appearance of Mr. Sinister. And 20 copies of this thing sold with a high sale of $100 for a raw, which ain't too shabby.
Not too bad.
At rank 19, we have X-Men 114 with a spoiler warning. This is from 2001. The book's trending for two reasons. The first is, while the MCU doesn't have X-Men yet, we're getting one of the most iconic in Wolverine. He's pairing up with Deadpool to get up to some shenanigans, and it wouldn't be a superhero flick without a villain. Cue Cassandra Nova, the sort of twin of Charles Xavier, rumored to be the villain in Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
She's also theorized to be the major villain behind the scenes in X-Men 97, which leads us to the second reason. The utterly traumatizing and brilliantly written third act of episode 5, where we see Genosha destroyed, ripped right from the pages of this book. Patience is required with this one, but the aftermarket isn't holding back. They're picking up copies at a good clip. 31 copies of this sold, $144 for a CBCS 9.8. And raw's around $20. And at rank 20, rounding out our list, is another Alien World, this time issue 4 from Pacific Comics in 1983. Another Dave Stevens cover. 15 copies sold with a high sale of $3.95 for a 9.8. And current raw's around $43. I'm looking at these covers. They're kind of throwbacky, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I get it.
Sounds like I don't get it.
No, I think I do. It's like a throwback to an old style of comic bookery.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool. And that's that. That's the list.
That's right. We're going through quite a bit of stuff. All right, Drew, it's time for what everybody came for, our sneak peek at next week. So I'm going to head over to good friends at Lunar Distributions. Head on down and look at what is releasing on April the 23rd.
Some great Dark Age, Batman Dark Age 2 covers. Some very murky Brave and the Bold covers for issue 12. I guess murky and Batman kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
Yeah, no doubt.
You'll see a lot of light pastels. Detective Comics 1084 was a great Detective Chimp cover by
April Fool's cover.
Maria Wolf. That's a beaut.
Ooh, love that Jenny Frison cover.
Did I go right by it?
Oh, that's when you get to Harley. Sorry, I jumped up to Harley.
I am not there yet.
Yeah. You'll get there quick. There wasn't a lot in between.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah, she's got a style for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It works for you every time.
over and over again.
I fall for it every time.
You do.
Ever since Reaper. Not Reaper, but whatever that one book was from Image.
Oh, that's cool. They did a showcase facsimile for the first Green Lantern. You can put yourself quite the collection together on facsimiles now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool, as it should be.
And over to our items for the 24th.
Oh, they're collecting the call. That's really cool. And there's
Deathstalkers from Vault Books, presented by Slash. The cult classic warrior hero Deathstalker bursts into the comic scene from an all-star lineup of creators, including Slash from Guns N' Roses, writer-director FX Wizard Steven Kostansky, we know from Psycho Goreman and The Void. Deathstalker finds it. Yeah, I don't know. It's the first time hearing about this. Deathstalker finds himself once again caught between forces larger than himself. A virgin worshipping cult, a sorcerer hellbent on saving the world through mad science, and the pissed off army of the Abraxion Kingdom. Tim Seeley is also writing this.
If it was Axel writing, or Tommy Lee, I'm there. Not Slash.
What if at some point during it they say something about getting on your knees? No?
That would be awesome.
Dick Tracy books. Wow.
Yeah, Dick Tracy's relaunching a new ongoing series from Mad Cave. Kind of cool.
Drawing Blood by Kevin Eastman.
I will probably read that, Dick Tracy.
Heavy metal book. Wait, hold on. Robert Rodriguez and Robert Rodriguez?
On Dick Tracy? Something else.
On Drawing Blood, this book is,
very nice.
I don't know. Robert Rodriguez is one of the cover artists. I saw Kevin Eastman and Robert Rodriguez, and I was like, oh.
So it was the Pharaoh number one second printing, a Halloween homage, or something else?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then Nightmare on Elm Street is the Feral number 2 B cover.
All right. I will take your word for it.
Monstrous 51. Got to read more Monstrous.
I do.
No, I have to.
Oh. Mythologies and Apocrypha is a Tim Lane book. This explores the good, the bad, and the ugly of 20th century masculinity through a head-spinning blend of fact and fiction featuring Elvis, Frank Sinatra, Walter Cronkite, and others. All right. Nope. Yeah, you're wacky, dude.
What book was that?
That was called Mythologies and Apocrypha.
Ah. Dude, Pretty Deadly is a hardcover.
Yeah.
$125 for 5 issues.
Ouch.
Jesus, Kelly Sue, are you that broke?
Okay, distillery, let's have real talk. I mean, I like your artistic flares with your little landscapey comic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you need to crop it. You need to crop it so it fits on the website, on the solicits, everybody can see it, or turn the damn thing sideways or something, because we can't have this. We can't have these little tiny postage stamps.
Especially with a Jenny Frizzin cover that it takes me a while to get to.
Yeah. Well, we get Creatures of from the Black Lagoon, number one. I don't know who's writing that one. That's Dan Waters, Ron V.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some good stuff up there.
World we Tree hit, 9.
We look for... So wait a minute. After weeks and months of Boom being on top, Boom has been the first comic publisher.
And Image has been the bastard child mixed up with all the other
ruffians. They haven't even been...
Ruffians.
In, yeah, they've been down in the bottom back half stuff. What is going on? Is there a new contract?
If you look, they changed it. Like, if you look at last week's, they were up there as well. So
they were. I don't remember them being up there last year.
I don't remember. No, they weren't last week. But if you go to the 17th, which is the one we went over last week, they've put them retroactively up in their own section.
That's just whack.
Yeah. Convention exclusive Witches hardcover number 1 volume 1 collecting Witches 1 through 6. Gosh, Witches was so good.
Yeah, it was a good one. Oh, Man's Best from Boom has a second issue already. I don't remember reading the first one, do I? Oh, I think I did. Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, penultimate issue.
Oh, yeah.
Pine and Merrimack, penultimate issue. Rare Flavors, penultimate issue.
Gosh, I love that Art Germ, Something is Killing the Children, cover H, FOC reveal variant. Boy, that's amazing.
It's no Jenny Frizzin.
It's not, but I prefer it. I like the Frizzin cover, but I prefer my Art Germ. And I like that Something is Killing the Children t-shirt as well.
Yeah, right? Really good.
Dark Horse Comics, The Last of Us Part 2. Oh, it's a clicker figure. Gotcha. Avengers Twilight number 4, second printing of an Alex Ross Thor cover.
Yeah, that's close to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars Darth Maul, black, white, and red. That's pretty much got you written all over it,
yes,
bro.
Yes, it does. I love it so much. And I love that Ben Harvey cover.
Is Frank Miller doing a Darth Maul cover? He is.
I was going to say, you can tell by how absolutely shitty it looks that he is.
Yeah. Do you think he's ever seen Star Wars?
Oh, I love my Ray Park Darth Maul movie cover, too. Star Wars Jango Fett 2, Superior Spider-Man. Symbiote Spider-Man 2099, number 1, going to a second print.
Ultimate Spidey 4 has a Torque variant. Looks pretty interesting. And the standard cover A looks pretty good, too.
And the Mateus Manhattanamadi.
Yeah, what are they doing there? The seance or something?
Having a little dinner party.
All right. Love that Wolverine 48 with like a Stretch Armstrong on the cover.
That's mm-hmm. great. Down to the Dynamite books.
Out of the Dynamite books.
Thundercats Ho and off. American Psycho 4. Took a while for this one to come back. It must have taken a big thing, but we've got another business card variant.
Biomex launches with a number 1 issue. There is a Deathstalker with Slash on the cover. I didn't see that one.
I didn't either.
Please inquire on the price. Oof. What's that mean? And you can't afford it, bruh.
If you gotta ask, you can't
afford it. Yeah. If you gotta ask, you can't get it. There's a lot of please inquires on those.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I read that first issue. I liked it.
Pooh and Bambi number 1 from Zenoscope. In a war, there are rules, but the forest has none. Abandoned by his country, betrayed by those once calling him family, and hunted by those who want nothing more than to keep him as a trophy. Winnie the Pooh is on a mission, and no amount of honey will sate his thirst. He wants revenge.
Operation Sunshine from Dark Horse is another set of podcast hosts turned comic writers. Can't swing a dead cat without in a couple of podcast hosts writing a comic. So Pooh versus Bambi's not quite what you what I thought it was going to be when you were talking about it.
Mm-hmm. The first two covers are. The other two are classic Zenoscope.
Not so much. Robot plus girl number one from Keen Spot. A little all agey.
Star Wars High Republic Adventures Phase 3, Cover 5. TMNT Ongoing 150 has a cover D that you're going to want to have.
Tell me this is like 80 pages for $10, if it's going to be $10.
I don't know the answer to that question, so I'm not going to tell you. The Kevin Eastman cover is
cool. If you're getting a TMNT 150, you got to get the Eastman, right?
I think so.
Just don't know why it's $10. Just because it's 150, I guess.
They took a page out of the Marvel book.
Yeah,
Drew, this morning podcast where I ask for your pick of the sneak peek at next week, pick of the week. Drew, what is the one book to head to your shop, make sure you can find and put in your collection?
Well, from the good folks, Alex Segura, Michael Morecki, Chantel, Amy Osman, and Geraldo Borges. Over at Mad Cave, I like Dick Tracy number one.
What? Did not see that coming. Did not see. I had a few things pulled out, something like that FOC reveal cover for Something is Killing the Children, 36 by Art Germ. I love that cover, but I'm going to go with that TMNT 150, and I'm going to go with that cover D that has kind of the Where's Waldo, a bunch of people on the cover.
Kyle, you yourself say it's always cover.
Yep, but I like it. I like it a lot, and I'm going
to. Oh, it's a wrap cover.
Yes. Very nice. Wish it was a 1 in 10, be even happier if it was.
What's a 1 in 10 $9.99 book cost you?
That's a good question.
$100.
We thank you for tagging along with Drew and myself through our sneak peek at this week and all the other things we do here at Comics for Fun and Profit. If you like what we do and want to hear more, we talked a lot about heading to the movies here soon. Of course, all of our movie reviews debut on our Patreon early and ad-free. So you want those things? Hang out with us. Be part of the conversation.
Sometimes they stay there forever. Sometimes and they never make it out.
They never make it to the light of day.
True. That's true.
Ooh, there's a foil on them. Okay, sorry. I've got to move. We appreciate you guys, and thank you so much for tagging along with us. For Drew and for myself. See you.
Our LCS is Cowabunga Comics out of Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, and their mail order company, Deep Discount Comics, and we went there, and we were actually invoice number 00001. We were the very first their very first customer, which was kind of cool. They've been nothing short of fantastic customer service wise. Discounts, they were very close, if not the same or better than DCBS on a lot of things. Over and above customer service wise, always taking care of us. Going the extra mile, so responsive, getting instantaneous responses back to questions about things, and to the point where knowing the stuff you like and anticipating your needs and having it suggested to, that you might want to add this to your order already before you even have to think about it, that's kind of cool. Really quality experience. So we love working with Cowabunga and Deep Discount, and that's why they're in our show notes every single episode and have been for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes. Mm-hmm. That we leave them there because we like them. They're cool, good people. That's why they're in there. By God, they'd tell you to, if you've got a local comic book shop that you love, stay with them, because everybody needs to support their local comic shops. But if you're looking, check them out. You can check them out in the show notes. There's plenty of ways to get a hold of them. Either get on their list, just so you can check and see what kind of FOC and pre-order stuff they have and the discounts, and they'll send it to you each month, get you on that email list. And you can check out their shop, because they have a great shop of exclusive Cowabunga variants. Amazing stuff. Yes, they've always been there for us, and we take them for granted. So there you go. Now you know.